观众朋友们，大家好，今天是6月17号，星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》。在中国官媒的反美宣传加剧美中两国紧张关系之际，美国国务卿蓬佩奥将与中共政治局委员杨洁篪在周三于檀香山的一个军事基地进行闭门会议。这次会谈的要求是由中国提出的。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
蓬佩奥以及杨洁篪上次见面是去年8月在纽约的秘密会谈，而美中两国呢，在贸易之外的其他外交安全议题对话一直停滞不前。
上次举行的年度美中外交安全对话是2018年的11月，也就是大约一年半以前，这说明两国关系的紧张恶化。美国国务卿蓬佩奥几天前对美国犹太人委员会的讲话当中再度提到了中共。
We're also standing up to the Chinese Communist Party, a growing challenge to the United States, to Israel, indeed to all free people. Beijing's opaque military buildup, reckless indifference to its internal obligations and disinformation campaigns endanger us all. We all must be alert to the Chinese Communist Party's threat to our way of life.Standing against bad actors is at the core of America's values.
在香港问题上，尽管华盛顿不太可能阻止北京实施新的国家安全法，但具体的实施方式还有决定的空间。美方不希望看到国安法侵蚀香港在基本法之下所享有的权利和自由。一些分析人士说，檀香山会议不太可能缓解美中两国由于新冠疫情、贸易、香港、台湾和南中国海等许多议题而不断加剧的紧张局势，扭转双边关系降到几十年来最糟糕水平的趋势。前白宫全球战略主管布鲁恩告诉美国之音，中国正试图缓和激烈的言辞，这使他们能够继续打击香港，并且继续在北京对新冠疫情的责任上进行不易察觉但有效的虚假宣传。
在美中檀香山会谈之后，美国和俄罗斯的官员下个星期将在维也纳举行3天的军备控制谈判。美国政府向呼吁中国政府加入军控谈判，以达成3方的军控协议。不过呢，北京政府对此并不感到兴趣。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
最近由于警察执法和种族问题，美国各地都爆发了抗议。特朗普总统星期二签署了关于警力改革的行政命令。下面是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普总统在6月16号星期二的中午在白宫每个人当中签署了警察安全执法安全社区行政命令。那么在签署这样行政命令之前呢，他先发表了讲话。在讲话当中呢，他先是称赞美国大多数的警察都是奉公守法的，都是好的警察，并且呢不但工作辛劳，在面对危险的时候也是身先士卒。他并且举例，在当年911攻击的时候呢，纽约的警察就是率先进入世贸大楼当中救人的。那么特朗普总统呢，在演说当中他就强调法律与秩序，并且说呢，这个行政命令当中将会提供更多的训练给警察。我们来看看特朗普总统今天在白宫美国人当中是怎么说的。
Under the executive order I'm signing today, we will prioritize federal grants from the Department of Justice to police departments that seek independent credentialing, certifying that they meet high standards, and in fact, in certain cases, the highest standard. That's where they do the best on the use of force and de-escalation training.For example, many believe that proper training might have prevented the tragic deaths of Antoine Rose and Botham Jean. As part of this new credentialing process, chokeholds will be banned, except if an officer's life is at risk.
特朗普总统在演说当中提到了2名这个非裔美国人是被警察杀死的这样子案例。那么其中的一位案例呢，就是安东罗斯。安东罗斯呢，是2018年6月19号的时候，在匹兹堡被远警罗斯斐德开了3枪射杀。当时安东罗斯只有18岁。罗斯斐德呢，被控谋杀罪，经过了4天的审判之后，被判无罪释放。另外一位呢，则是博桑尚，他死的时候呢，是一名26岁的会计师，在知名的国际会计师事务所普华永道会计师事务所上班。 2018年9月6号的晚上呢，博桑尚在自己德州的家里面的客厅在看电视，但是呢，一名员警艾米盖格误闯他的公寓，以为他是小偷，就开枪射杀了他。之后，艾米盖格被控谋杀罪，被判10年监禁，目前正在坐牢。特朗普总统在讲话当中也提到，行政命令当中呢将会禁止锁喉。近几年我们知道，几起的非裔美国人因为警方执法导致无法呼吸的案例，同时呢也是现在抗议活动当中“我无法呼吸 ”（I can breathe） 口号的由来。包括纽约的艾瑞克·加纳德是被警方锁喉致死，以及最近的乔治·弗洛伊德也是被警察跪在脖子上窒息。此外呢，美国国会当中目前也正在研拟来改革警察的法案。那么在众议院的版本当中呢，就考虑会把这个禁止锁喉也纳入立法的范围。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄阳义的报道。
最近几位非裔美国人在与警察冲突时身亡的事件，引发了人们对于警察角色的辩论。一些抗议者们呼吁撤销警察经费，我们一起去了解一下。
由于乔治·弗洛伊德和其他黑人在警察执法过程中丧生而引发愤怒，越来越多的抗议者呼吁撤销美国现行的警务系统。
The police receives billions and billions of dollars in order to brutalize minority communities, specifically black communities, which is completely unjust. It is oppression. It is racism in its finest.
随着撤警察经费的呼声越来越高，关于这句话意味着什么的争论也越来越多。但是一些拥护者说，这并不是要消除警察部门，而是要从他们所说的长期以来被指种族主义的武装队伍中撤走经费。
It means making sure that the resources that we put into the police that could be better spent on public health and social workers and public services that our communities desperately need are getting those funds as opposed to just going to the police, which are driven primarily in a lot of ways by violence.
但是并非所有抗议者都认同这个意涵宽泛的口号。
We can weed out the bad and keep and bring in the good, then I prefer that.I want to be able, if I need them, to call them.
尽管如此，这个运动的势头在加强。洛杉矶和纽约官员已承诺会削减警察预算。在弗洛伊德去世的明尼阿波利斯市，那里的议会发誓要解散警察局。
Our commitment is to end our city's toxic relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department, to end policing as we know it.
之前有过实例，拥护者指出。新泽西州卡姆登市这个多年来一直被认为是美国最致命的城市之一，在2013年解散并重建了整个警察局，自那以后暴力犯罪大幅下降。贾斯汀·汉夫斯德教授说，如此重大的改革需要大胆地重新思考现状。
The thing was segregation. Some people thought, wait, this is our way of life. Isn't it better if we're separate? You know, we've been like this for decades, but we were able to fight against segregation.And similarly, I think today with policing, the idea of abolishing it, it encourages us to think about replacing it with a better system.
但是反对撤销资金的人士说，一刀切的警察改革方法是不明智的。
If leadership has failed, management has failed, culturally the department hasn't properly served its residents, then yes, it should be revamped or restructured. But to just simply say,we're going to dismantle, then what's your plan? And not all police departments are created the same. You can't just do a broad brush.
在立法者们的注视下，美国重新构建治安体系的要求越来越强烈。在已经两极分化的选举年当中，这一运动可能成为热点问题。美国之音记者奥尼华盛顿报道。
最近，种族问题成为了美国社会的热点议题。美联社的资深记者阿曼达·巴雷特讲述了他作为非裔美国人的经历，我们一起去了解一下。
抗议者对乔治·弗洛伊德之死感到愤怒，他们要为弗洛伊德和其他的警察暴力受害者伸张正义。弗洛伊德是一名非洲裔美国人，他被一名警察用膝盖压住脖子而窒息死亡。这个事件在美联社责任副主编阿曼达·巴雷特的推特提要上闪过。他跟他大多数同事一样，在目前新冠病毒爆发期间远程工作。作为一个资深新闻人，他马上把个人感受撇到一边，检查同事们是否迅速对这则消息做出反应，不仅报道社交媒体， 也报道在明尼阿波利斯街头以及其他地方激起的愤怒。但作为一名非洲裔美国人，巴雷特内心震荡，从生气、愤怒到精疲力竭。
I watched it and I was horrified. I was depressed and I was decimated inside. But I knew that I had to set that aside and be a journalist. And so I immediately sounded the alarm to my colleagues in the central region to see if they had seen it, to see if we had the story out and to see what we could get going with our reporting. I knew the importance of it, but internally I was really torn up and hurt by seeing it yet again.
在警察制服他的过程中，被手铐铐住的弗洛伊德因呼吸困难而挣扎。旁观者用视频拍下过程，可以听到弗洛伊德加紧恳求警官德里克·乔文和其他三人来帮他。巴雷特说，本案强烈呼应埃里克·加纳的案子。那是另一个在2014年被杀的非洲裔美国人。
There are so many echoes of Eric Garner in what we're seeing today. You can start with the fact that George Floyd said, "I can't breathe," which are the very words that Eric Garner said when he was dying. We can also see it in the echoes of the protests that have begun. There are so many people that turned out during Eric Garner's case in 2014, and you're seeing the same now, where people are taking to the streets to express their outrage, to express their feelings that things must change.
加纳于2014年7月17日和警官丹尼尔·潘塔莱欧发生冲突，在这名警官似乎对他施展锁喉的动作后，他不幸死亡。潘塔莱欧后来被解雇，警方怀疑加纳在纽约史坦顿岛的街上出售没有课税的散装香烟。这场冲突被非专业的旁人录像，内容包括加纳说我不能呼吸，这句话后来成为抗议者的示威口号。另外还有观鸟者克里斯蒂安·库珀的事件。
For those who don't know, Christian Cooper is a bird watcher who was in Central Park and asked a white woman to leash her dog who was scaring away the birds. She refusedand then threatened to call the police and say that she was being assaulted by an African-American man. That was a very scary episode on a couple of levels. First, because it sent the signal that she thought that she could use the police at her will to threaten a black person. And secondly, given what's happened, and it's happened again and again in this country,His safety was not assured if the police did show up. And it's also an example of us being unwelcome in white spaces. He should have been free to birdwatch, but in that instance, he was not.
克里斯蒂安·库珀和那名白人妇女艾米·库珀没有任何关系。他掏出电话，拍摄艾米·库珀打电话报警说，他被一个非洲裔美国男子威胁。这个视频被克里斯蒂安·库珀放在脸书上，他的妹妹把他放在推特上，受到广泛关注，也引发了种族歧视的指控。艾米·库珀因此被解雇。
Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking pictures and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
巴雷特说，这在黑人社区并不罕见。
If you talk to most black people, they will tell you that things have happened to them because they're black. They can walk through a store just like any other person to shop, and they'll be followed. People will cross the street because they don't want to be on the same side of the street with them. People will say things to them. There are lots of microaggressions that happen. Someone leaves the elevator because they don't want to be bothered with a black person.We feel targeted in a lot of different ways.
就像乔治亚州的黑人慢跑者艾默德·阿伯里一样，今年二月，一对白人父子在他们的社区追他，并开枪杀死他。一直到两个月后，枪击的视频在网上出现，才正式提出诉讼。巴雷特选择的职业意味着他无法参加抗议活动，因为这有损他的新闻公正性。 但他说他厌倦了反反复复地讲同样的故事，也厌倦了说明在北美身为黑人意味着什么。
As an African American journalist, I'm very bothered by the fact that I have to keep explaining black life to the rest of America, to our audiences. I have to explain the ways in which we're constrained, the dangers that we face with police and otherwise. And every time someone gets killed, I have to go back and explain what it's like to live this life.And that's very discouraging because those are not the stories I want to keep telling. I want to tell new stories. I want to talk about undiscovered audiences. I want to explain concepts to people they haven't heard of. But yet here we are again explaining the dangers that black people face.
巴雷特决心讲故事，分享人所未闻的声音，并要求当权者负起责任。美国之音新闻报道。
非裔美国人乔治·弗洛伊德因为警察暴力身亡，人们开始广泛呼吁改变美国警察的执法方式。一名退休的女警官向美国之音记者谈论了她对警队中种族主义的看法。
So here we have me graduating from the police academy. This is my chief at the time. Quite happy to have a gun and a badge. I was working on the bus. We used to wear plain clothes on the bus, and that's me with a general manager. I just made sergeant.I remember being the only African-American female in that group of promotees. I remember the levels of competitiveness and the gratification that I was able to compete at that level and excel. My name is Tracy Simmons, and I am a retired deputy chief of the Metro Transit Police Department. I served there for over 25 years.In various capacities, I came up through the ranks and I retired at the rank of deputy chief. And I was the first African-American woman to reach that rank at my police agency. It was very intimidating for a young woman, especially a young black woman. I was in a highly, you know, Anglo workplace with majority male. And it was challenging. You had to get in to fit in, to get along. And really, you really still weren't a part of, be clear. You know, in the police department, there was rampant sexism, rampant racism.There were remarks made in roll calls that, you know, I wouldn't dare repeat. And as I was there, because I was there, I got to be a voice for things that needed to change and be different. Police! There'll be a certain segment of racism because we come from those same communities. Police officers come from those same communities, and they bring along with them their belief systems, their worldviews, and their cultural experiences.I think it's just come to a head. I think there's a lot of things that we get to see now because of technology that has occurred for many, many years, and that now is kind of in our face. We all had an opportunity to see George Floyd, you know, be murdered right on television. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I don't think most Americans have. I think that our country is in a breakdown. And I think that around police brutality and law enforcement, I would tell the protesters that I support them wholeheartedly. I would tell them to be thoughtful and be aware that there are other stories and other spaces. That's a part of the story, but it's not the real story. It doesn't tell the story of the 10 police officers that got killed last week. It doesn't tell that story. Or the guy down the street that got shot by other assailants.Who the police locked up and now they're in jail. So there are a lot of stories here to be told. And so I'm hopeful. I do think that there are definite ways and that we can begin to change the culture. And we get to just, you know, retire out those that want to hold on to the old ways. It's not like it's changing. And those that aren't ready to change need to move on. They need to go. Not only that, but he can mend your brokenness.
Because he changed not only this country, not only the United States, he changed the world. George Floyd changed the world.
We get to say what legacy George Floyd's death has on us as a people. As long as people feel like isn't this going to die out like all the rest of them, because those four officers will go to jail for a very long time. But it doesn't mean I feel super safe about my son driving at night. It just doesn't.
Thank you.
最高法院星期一裁定，保护工人不受性别歧视的联邦法律，同样也适用于同性恋者和跨性别者。这标志着 LGBTQ 群体的巨大胜利，全国各地的活动人士都庆祝了这项裁决。
自从美国最高法院2015年在全国范围内将同性婚姻合法化以来，美国的同性恋和跨性别平权运动取得重大胜利。最高法院以6票比3票的结果裁定雇主不得歧视同性恋和跨性别员工。特朗普2017年任命的保守派大法官尼尔·戈萨奇和保守派首席大法官约翰·罗伯茨加入了四位自由派大法官的决定。戈萨奇执笔的裁决说，同性恋和跨性别者受1964年民权法案第七条保护，禁止雇主因性别、种族、肤色、原籍国和宗教歧视员工。在纽约的十强客栈外，罗杰·麦肯锡说，是时候了。
It's about time. I mean, we are human beings too, you know what I mean? Why shouldn't we get equal rights just as everyone else? We pay our taxes, we work hard. Some of us try to work own our own businesses. We are entrepreneurs because they don't let us into a lot of the arenas sometimes. So we have to develop our own things and start our own businesses, you know what I mean? But I think it's really, really a progress towards the LGBTQ community.
It's right.You know, it should have happened a long time ago. And I'm surprised that Neil Gorsuch is now an LGBT ally.
1968年6月28日，格林威治村同性恋酒吧十强客栈的顾客起身反抗警察的骚扰，引发数天骚动。他们的抵抗催生了争取女同性恋、男同性恋、双性恋、跨性别者和其他同性恋者平等权利的全国和全球运动。在美国大部分地区，工作场所对同性恋和跨性别者持偏见仍不犯法。美国28个州缺乏针对就业歧视的广泛举措。这项裁决针对在乔治亚州和纽约州两个同性恋权利案和密西根州一个跨性别权利案，认可了联邦法律对新进员工的保护。最高法院同意原告的观点，即歧视同性恋和跨性别者本质上是基于他们的性别，因此是非法的。乔治亚州的案件由杰拉尔德·博斯托克提出，他在加入当地对同性恋友好的霍塔兰塔垒球联盟几个月后，失去了县政府儿童福利服务协调员的工作。另外两名原告未在有生之年看到裁决结果。艾米·斯蒂芬斯在透露了从男性变性为女性的计划后，被底特律的一家殡仪馆解雇，并于五月去世。纽约的跳伞教练唐纳德·扎尔达在被解雇后提出告诉，他在2014年去世。扎尔达说，他告诉一名客户自己是同性恋后被投诉，因此失去了跳伞教练的工作。他在提出诉讼后死于跳伞事故。格雷戈里·安托利诺是唐纳德·扎尔达的律师，他为扎尔达的案子工作了10年。
I wish Don were here to celebrate with me, but it's been so long since he's been part of the case. Most of the case, has proceeded without his being here, and I enjoyed his company, and I miss him, and.I know he would be thrilled with his outcome. We still have to go back to the district court, the trial court, and work things out, however they may go. But this is the real victory, and I think he would have recognized that, as do the current administrators of his estate.
首席大法官罗伯茨身居最高法院的意识形态中心点，他在反对同性婚姻的裁决后，在此案中支持同性恋权利。保守派大法官塞缪尔·阿里托、克拉伦斯·托马斯和布雷特·卡瓦诺反对周一的裁决。特朗普政府上周发布了一项规定，取消医疗健保中对跨性别人士的反歧视保护。特朗普政府还支持某些企业基于宗教反对立场拒绝为同性恋者服务的权利，禁止大多数跨性别者加入军队服役，并取消了公立学校中针对跨性别学生使用洗手间的保护措施。特朗普总统星期一表示，他接受最高法院这项非常有利的决定。
No, they've ruled. I've read the decision, and some people were surprised, but they've ruled, and we live with their decision. That's what it's all about. We live with the decision of the Supreme Court. Very powerful decision, actually.
But they have so ruled.
美国之音新闻报道。
美国各地逐步重启经济，塑料公司们正在加紧制作喷嚏隔板。这种隔板可以帮助遏制新冠病毒在公共场所的传播，不过原材料却面临全球性的短缺。
塑料制品公司正在加班赶工，以满足许多公司对喷嚏隔板的创纪录需求。加利福尼亚州的都柏林市这家公司是其中之一。塑料制造商表示，他们正收到从商店、饭馆、办公室和其他工作场所发来的透明塑料隔板订单。旧金山湾区一家叫机场家电的零售连锁店为他们的仓库、办公室和商店订供了防护隔板。
So just to make everyone feel really comfortable, both our sales staff and the customers, we've installed sneeze guards in all our showrooms.
TAP 塑料公司在加利福尼亚州、俄勒冈州和华盛顿州都有分店，他们无法满足对塑料隔板的需求。这种需求是从医院开始的。拉斯米勒在 TAP 塑料公司总部所在的加利福尼亚州圣莱安德罗管理公司的商店。
The amount of guards that we're making is phenomenal. Thousands and thousands of guards are being made, and we cannot keep up with demand. Of course, everybody wants them to open, and we can't make them fast enough.
除了没有足够的熟手工人外，用来制造隔板的塑料原材料全球短缺，导致订单积压。
We went through a year's worth of material in a month and a half. So we're getting more material shipped in, but it's a worldwide shortage on material right now because this demand is worldwide.
杂货店是塑料隔板最大的买家之一。这些隔板被安装在结账区，把收银员跟顾客隔开。
We installed them to protect the exposure of the cashiers and the customers, from one another, really.Just because they're, you know, everyone who walks in the door may have COVID-19, and I don't want anyone to get sick.
喷嚏隔板已经成为塑料先生公司的主要业务来源。这家生产和制造塑料的公司位于加利福尼亚州的圣莱安德罗。
It's nothing we've seen before in all the 35 years we've been in business, and it's a huge demand. We're getting many calls and emails.Per day.
各行各业迫切需要防护隔板来重新开业，但据业主麦克·阿德尔森说，要购买这些制造隔板所需的丙烯酸板越来越困难了。
We had no idea that the sneeze guards / partitions would become such a big part of our business, and what's been happening is it's been harder and harder to get material. That's been the huge challenge.
随着越来越多的国家试图在公共场所设置屏障，世界各地都感受到原料短缺的问题。美国之音新闻报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。是6月17号星期三，欢迎收看美国观察。在中国官媒的反美宣传加剧美中两国紧张关系之际，美国国务卿蓬佩奥将与中共政治局委员杨洁篪在周三于檀香山的一个军事基地进行闭门会议。这次会谈的要求是由中国提出的。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
蓬佩奥以及杨洁篪上次见面是去年8月在纽约的秘密会谈，而美中两国呢，在贸易之外的其他外交安全议题对话一直停滞不前。
上次举行的年度美中外交安全对话是2018年的11月，也就是大约一年半以前，这说明两国关系的紧张恶化。美国国务卿蓬佩奥几天前对美国犹太人委员会的讲话当中再度提到了中共。
We're also standing up to the Chinese Communist Party, a growing challenge to the United States, to Israel, indeed to all free people. Beijing's opaque military buildup, reckless indifference to its internal obligations and disinformation campaigns endanger us all. We all must be alert to the Chinese Communist Party's threat to our way of life. Standing against bad actors is at the core of America's values.
在香港问题上，尽管华盛顿不太可能阻止北京实施新的国家安全法，但具体的实施方式还有决定的空间。美方不希望看到国安法侵蚀香港在基本法之下所享有的权利和自由。一些分析人士说，檀香山会议不太可能缓解美中两国由于新冠疫情、贸易、香港、台湾和南中国海等许多议题而不断加剧的紧张局势，扭转双边关系降到几十年来最糟糕水平的趋势。前白宫全球战略主管布鲁恩告诉美国之音，中国正试图缓和激烈的言辞，这使他们能够继续打击香港，并且继续在北京对新冠疫情的责任上进行不易察觉但有效的虚假宣传。
在美中檀香山会谈之后，美国和俄罗斯的官员下个星期将在维也纳举行3天的军备控制谈判。美国政府一向呼吁中国政府加入军控谈判，以达成3方的军控协议。不过呢，北京政府对此并不感到兴趣。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
最近，由于警察执法和种族问题，美国各地都爆发了抗议。特朗普总统星期二签署了关于警力改革的行政命令。下面是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普总统在6月16号星期二的中午，在白宫玫瑰园当中签署了警察安全执法安全社区行政命令。那么在签署这项行政命令之前呢，他先发表了讲话。在讲话当中呢，他先是称赞美国大多数的警察都是奉公守法的，都是好的警察，并且呢不但工作辛劳，在面对危险的时候也是身先士卒。他并且举例，在当年911攻击的时候呢，纽约的警察就是率先进入世贸大楼当中救人的。那么特朗普总统呢，在演说当中，他就强调法律与秩序，并且说呢，这个行政命令当中将会提供更多的训练给警察。我们来看看特朗普总统今天在白宫玫瑰园当中是怎么说的。
Under the executive order I'm signing today, we will prioritize federal grants from the Department of Justice to police departments that seek independent credentialing, certifying that they meet high standards, and in fact, in certain cases, the highest standard.That's where they do the best, on the use of force and de-escalation training. For example, many believe that proper training might have prevented the tragic deaths of Antoine Rose and Botham Jean. As part of this new credentialing process, chokeholds will be banned, except if an officer's life is at risk.
特朗普总统在演说当中提到了2名这个非裔美国人是被警察杀死的这样子案例。那么其中的一位案例呢，就是安东罗斯。安东罗斯呢，是2018年6月19号的时候，在匹兹堡被远警罗斯斐德开了3枪射杀。当时安东罗斯只有18岁，罗斯斐德呢被控谋杀罪，经过了4天的审判之后，被判无罪释放。另外一位呢，则是博桑尚，他死的时候呢，是一名26岁的会计师，在知名的国际会计师事务所普华永道会计师事务所上班。2018年9月6号的晚上呢，博桑尚在自己德州的家里面的客厅在看电视，但是呢，一名远警艾米盖格误闯他的公寓，以为他是小偷，就开枪射杀了他。之后，艾米盖格被控谋杀罪，被判10年监禁，目前正在坐牢。特朗普总统在讲话当中也提到，行政命令当中呢将会禁止锁喉。近几年我们知道，几起的非裔美国人因为警方执法导致无法呼吸的案例，同时呢也是现在抗议活动当中“我无法呼吸 ”（I can breathe） 口号的由来。包括纽约的艾瑞克·加纳德是被警方锁喉致死，以及最近的乔治·弗洛伊德也是被警察跪在脖子上窒息。此外呢，美国国会当中目前也正在研拟来改革警察的法案。那么在众议院的版本当中呢，就考虑会把这个禁止锁喉也纳入立法的范围。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄阳毅的报道。
最近，几位非裔美国人在与警察冲突时身亡的事件，引发了人们对于警察角色的辩论。一些抗议者们呼吁撤销警察经费，我们一起去了解一下。
由于乔治·弗洛伊德和其他黑人在警察执法过程中丧生而引发愤怒，越来越多的抗议者呼吁撤销美国现行的警务系统。
The police receives billions and billions of dollars in order to brutalize minority communities, specifically black communities, which is completely unjust. It is oppression. It is racism in its finest.
随着撤警察经费的呼声越来越高，关于这句话意味着什么的争论也越来越多。但是一些拥护者说，这并不是要消除警察部门，而是要从他们所说的长期以来被指种族主义的武装队伍中撤走经费。
It means making sure that the resources that we put into the police that could be better spent on public health and social workers and public services that our communities desperately need are getting those funds as opposed to just going to the police, which are driven primarily in a lot of ways by violence.
但是并非所有抗议者都认同这个意涵宽泛的口号。
We can weed out the bad and keep and bring in the good, then I prefer that.
尽管如此，这个运动的势头在加强。洛杉矶和纽约官员已承诺会削减警察预算。在弗洛伊德去世的明尼阿波利斯市，那里的议会发誓要解散警察局。
Our commitment is to end our city's toxic relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department, to end policing as we know it.
之前有过实例，拥护者指出。新泽西州卡姆登市这个多年来一直被认为是美国最致命的城市之一，在2013年解散并重建了整个警察局，自那以后暴力犯罪大幅下降。贾斯汀·汉夫斯德教授说，如此重大的改革需要大胆地重新思考现状。
The thing was segregation. Some people thought, wait, this is our way of life. Isn't it better if we're separate? You know, we've been like this for decades, but we were able to fight against segregation.And similarly, I think today with policing, the idea of abolishing it, it encourages us to think about replacing it with a better system.
但是反对撤销资金的人士说，一刀切的警察改革方法是不明智的。
If leadership has failed, management has failed, culturally the department hasn't properly served its residents, then yes, it should be revamped or restructured. But to just simply say,we're going to dismantle, then what's your plan? And not all police departments are created the same. You can't just do a broad brush.
在立法者们的注视下，美国重新构建治安体系的要求越来越强烈。在已经两极分化的选举年当中，这一运动可能成为热点问题。美国之音记者奥尼华盛顿报道。
最近，种族问题成为了美国社会的热点议题。美联社的资深记者阿曼达·巴雷特讲述了他作为非裔美国人的经历，我们一起去了解一下。
抗议者对乔治·弗洛伊德之死感到愤怒，他们要为弗洛伊德和其他的警察暴力受害者伸张正义。弗洛伊德是一名非洲裔美国人，他被一名警察用膝盖压住脖子而窒息死亡。这个事件在美联社责任副主编阿曼达·巴雷特的推特提要上闪过。他跟他大多数同事一样，在目前新冠病毒爆发期间远程工作。作为一个资深新闻人，他马上把个人感受撇到一边，检查同事们是否迅速对这则消息做出反应，不仅报道社交媒体，也报道在明尼阿波利斯街头以及其他地方激起的愤怒。但作为一名非洲裔美国人，巴雷特内心震荡，从生气、愤怒到精疲力竭。
I watched it, and I was horrified. I was depressed, and I was decimated inside. But I knew that I had to set that aside and be a journalist. And so I immediately sounded the alarm to my colleagues in the central region to see if they had seen it, to see if we had a story out, and to see what we could.Get going with our reporting. I knew the importance of it, but internally I was really torn up and hurt by seeing it yet again.
在警察制服他的过程中，被手铐铐住的弗洛伊德因呼吸困难而挣扎。旁观者用视频拍下过程，可以听到弗洛伊德加紧恳求警官德里克·乔文和其他三人来帮他。
Give me my ear. 雷特说，本案强烈呼应埃里克加纳的案子，那是另一个在2014年被杀的非洲裔美国人。
There are so many echoes of Eric Garner in what we are seeing today. You can start with the fact that George Floyd said, "I can't breathe," which is the very words that Eric Garner said when he was dying.We can also see it in the echoes of the protests that have begun. There are so many people that turned out during Eric Garner's case in 2014, and you're seeing the same now, where people are taking to the streets to express their outrage, to express their feelings that things must change.
加纳于2014年7月17日和警官丹尼尔·潘塔莱欧发生冲突。在这名警官似乎对他施展锁喉的动作后，他不幸死亡。潘塔莱欧后来被解雇，警方怀疑加纳在纽约史坦顿岛的街上出售没有课税的散装香烟。这场冲突被非专业的旁人录像，内容包括加纳说我不能呼吸，这句话后来成为抗议者的示威口号。另外还有观鸟者克里斯蒂安库珀的事件。
For those who don't know, Christian Cooper is a bird watcherwho was in Central Park and asked a white woman to leash her dog, who was scaring away the birds. She refused and then threatened to call the police and say that she was being assaulted by an African-American man. That was a very scary episode on a couple of levels. First, because it sent the signal that she thought that she could use the police at her will to threaten a black person.And secondly, given what's happened and has happened again and again in this country, his safety was not assured if the police did show up. And it's also an example of us being unwelcome in white spaces. He should have been free to birdwatch, but in that instance, he was not.
克里斯蒂安·库珀和那名白人妇女艾米·库珀没有任何关系。他掏出电话拍摄艾米库珀打电话报警说他被一个非洲裔美国男子威胁。这个视频被克里斯蒂安库珀放在脸书上，他的妹妹把他放在推特上，受到广泛关注，也引发了种族歧视的指控。艾米库珀因此被解雇。
Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops.Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
巴雷特说，这在黑人社区并不罕见。
If you talk to most black people, they will tell you that things have happened to them because they're black. They can walk through a store just like any other person to shop, and they'll be followed. People will cross the street because they don't want to be on the same side of the street with them. People will say things to them.There are lots of microaggressions that happen. Someone leaves the elevator because they don't want to be bothered with a black person. We feel targeted in a lot of different ways.
就像乔治亚州的黑人慢跑者艾默德·阿伯里一样，今年二月，一对白人父子在他们的社区追他，并开枪杀死他。一直到两个月后，枪击的视频在网上出现，才正式提出诉讼。巴雷特选择的职业意味着他无法参加抗议活动，因为这有损他的新闻公正性。但他说，他厌倦了反反复复地讲同样的故事，也厌倦了说明在北美身为黑人意味着什么。
As an African American journalist, I am very bothered by the fact that I have to keep explaining Black life to the rest of America, to our audiences. I have to explain the ways in which we're constrained.The dangers that we face with police and otherwise. And every time someone gets killed, I have to go back and explain what it's like to live this life. And that's very discouraging because those are not the stories I want to keep telling. I want to tell new stories. I want to talk about undiscovered audiences. I want to explain concepts to people they haven't heard of. But yet here we are again explaining the dangers that black people face.
巴雷特决心讲故事，分享人所未闻的声音，并要求当权者负起责任。美国之音新闻报道。
非裔美国人乔治·弗洛伊德因为警察暴力身亡，人们开始广泛呼吁改变美国警察的执法方式。一名退休的女警官向美国之音记者谈论了她对警队中种族主义的看法。
So here we have me graduating from the police academy. This is my chief at the time. Quite happy to have a gun and a badge. I was working on a bus. We used to wear plain clothes on a bus. And that's me, was a general manager. I just made sergeant. I remember being the only African-American female in that group of promotees. I remember the levels of competitiveness and the gratification that I was able to compete at that level and excel. My name is Tracy Simmons, and I am a retired deputy chief of the Metro Transit Police Department. I served there for over 25 years in various capacities. I came up through the ranks, and I retired at the rank of deputy chief, and I was the first African-American woman to reach that rank at my police agency. It was very intimidating for a young woman, especially a young black woman. I was in a highly, you know, Anglo workplace with majority male, and it was challenging. You had to get in to fit in, to get along, and really, you really still weren't a part of, be clear. You know, in the police department, there was rampant sexism, rampant racism. There were remarks made in roll calls that, you know, I wouldn't dare repeat. And as I was there, because I was there, I got to be a voice for things that needed to change and be different. Police. There'll be a certain segment of racism because we come from those same communities. Police officers come from those same communities, and they bring along with them their belief systems, their worldviews, and their cultural experiences. I think it's just come to a head. I think there's a lot of things that we get to see now because of technology that has occurred for many, many years, and that now is kind of in our face. We all had an opportunity to see George Floyd, you know, be murdered right on television. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I don't think most Americans have. I think that our country is in a breakdown. And I think that around police brutality and law enforcement, I would tell the protesters that I support them wholeheartedly. I would tell them to be thoughtful and be aware that there are other stories and other spaces. That's a part of the story, but it's not the real story. It doesn't tell the story of the 10 police officers that got killed last week. It doesn't tell that story. Or the guy down the street that got shot by other assailants, who the police locked up and now they're in jail. So there are a lot of stories here to be told. And so I'm hopeful. I do think that there are definite ways and that we can begin to change the culture. And we get to just, you know, retire out those that want to hold on to the old ways. It's not like it's changing. And those that aren't ready to change need to move on. They need to go. Not only that, but he can mend your
brokenness. Because he changed not only this country, not only the United States, he changed the world. George Floyd changed the world.
We get to say what legacy George Floyd's death has on us as a people. As long as people feel like this isn't just going to die out like all the rest of them, because those four officers will go to jail for a very long time. But it doesn't mean I feel super safe about my son driving at night. It just doesn't.
星期一裁定，保护工人不受性别歧视的联邦法律同样也适用于同性恋者和跨性别者，这标志着 LGBTQ 群体的巨大胜利。全国各地的活动人士都庆祝了这项裁决。
自从美国最高法院2015年在全国范围内将同性婚姻合法化以来，美国的同性恋和跨性别平权运动取得重大胜利。最高法院以6-3的结果裁定雇主不得歧视同性恋和跨性别员工。特朗普2017年任命的保守派大法官尼尔·戈萨奇和保守派首席大法官约翰·罗伯茨加入了四位自由派大法官的决定。戈萨奇执笔的裁决说，同性恋和跨性别者受1964年民权法案第七条保护，禁止雇主因性别、种族、肤色、原籍国和宗教歧视员工。在纽约的十强客栈外，罗杰·麦肯锡说，是时候了。
It's about time. I mean, we are human beings too, you know what I mean? Why shouldn't we get equal rights just as everyone else? We pay our taxes, we work hard. Some of us try to workOwn our own businesses. We're entrepreneurs because they don't let us into a lot of the arenas sometimes. So we have to develop our own things and start our own businesses. You know what I mean? But I think it's really, really a progress towards the LGBTQ community.
It's right. You know, it should have happened a long time ago. And I'm surprised that Neil Gorsuch is now an LGBT ally.
1968年6月28日，格林威治村同性恋酒吧十强客栈的顾客起身反抗警察的骚扰，引发数天骚动。他们的抵抗催生了争取女同性恋、男同性恋、双性恋、跨性别者和其他同性恋者平等权利的全国和全球运动。在美国大部分地区，工作场所对同性恋和跨性别者持偏见仍不犯法。美国28个州缺乏针对就业歧视的广泛举措。这项裁决针对在乔治亚州和纽约州两个同性恋权利案和密西根州一个跨性别权利案，认可了联邦法律对新进员工的保护。最高法院同意原告的观点，即歧视同性恋和跨性别者本质上是基于他们的性别，因此是非法的。乔治亚州的案件由杰拉尔德·博斯托克提出，他在加入当地对同性恋友好的霍塔兰塔垒球联盟几个月后，失去了县政府儿童福利服务协调员的工作。另外两名原告未在有生之年看到裁决结果。艾米·斯蒂芬斯在透露了从男性变性为女性的计划后，被底特律的一家殡仪馆解雇，并于5月去世。纽约的跳伞教练唐纳德·扎尔达在被解雇后提出告诉，他在2014年去世。扎尔达说，他告诉一名客户自己是同性恋后被投诉，因此失去了跳伞教练的工作。他在提出诉讼后死于跳伞事故。格雷戈里·安托利诺是唐纳德·扎尔达的律师，他为扎尔达的案子工作了10年。
I wish Don were here to celebrate with me, but it's been so long since he's been part of the case. Most of the case, has proceeded.Without his being here, and I enjoyed his company, and I miss him, and I know he would be thrilled with his outcome. We still have to go back to the district court, the trial court, and work things out, however they may go. But this is the real victory, and I think he would have recognized that, as do the current administrators of his estate.
首席大法官罗伯茨身居最高法院的意识形态中心点，他在反对同性婚姻的裁决后，在此案中支持同性恋权利。保守派大法官塞缪尔·阿里托、克拉伦斯·托马斯和布雷特·卡瓦诺反对周一的裁决。特朗普政府上周发布了一项规定，取消医疗健保中对跨性别人士的反歧视保护。特朗普政府还支持某些企业基于宗教反对立场拒绝为同性恋者服务的权利，禁止大多数跨性别者加入军队服役，并取消了公立学校中针对跨性别学生使用洗手间的保护措施。特朗普总统星期一表示，他接受最高法院这项非常有利的决定。
Well, they've ruled. I've read the decision, and some people were surprised, but they've ruled, and we live with their decision. That's what it's all about. We live with the decision of the Supreme Court. Very powerful, a very powerful decision, actually. But They have so ruled.
美国之音新闻报道。
美国各地逐步重启经济，塑料公司们正在加紧制作喷嚏隔板。这种隔板可以帮助遏制新冠病毒在公共场所的传播，不过原材料却面临全球性的短缺。
塑料制品公司正在加班赶工，以满足许多公司对喷嚏隔板的创纪录需求。加利福尼亚州的都柏林市这家公司是其中之一。塑料制造商表示，他们正收到从商店、饭馆、办公室和其他工作场所发来的透明塑料隔板订单。旧金山湾区一家叫机场家电的零售连锁店为他们的仓库、办公室和商店订购了防护隔板。
So just to make everyone feel really comfortable, both our sales staff and the customers, we've installed sneeze guards in all our showrooms.
TAP 塑料公司在加利福尼亚州、俄勒冈州和华盛顿州都有分店，他们无法满足对塑料隔板的需求，这种需求是从医院开始的。拉斯米勒在 TAP 塑料公司总部所在的加利福尼亚州圣莱安德罗管理公司的商店。
The amount of guards that we're making is phenomenal. Thousands and thousands of guards are being made, and we cannot keep up with demand. Of course, everybody wants them to open, and we can't make them fast enough.
除了没有足够的熟手工人外，用来制造隔板的塑料原材料全球短缺，导致订单积压。
We went through a year's worth of material in a month and a half, so we're getting more material shipped in, but it's a worldwide shortage on material right now because this demand is worldwide.
杂货店是塑料隔板最大的买家之一，这些隔板被安装在结账区，把收银员跟顾客隔开。
We installed them to protect the exposure of the cashiers and the customers from one another, really, just because they're, you know, everyone who walks in the door has, could have, may have COVID-19, and I don't want anybody to get sick.
喷嚏隔板已经成为塑料先生公司的主要业务来源。这家生产和制造塑料的公司位于加利福尼亚州的圣莱安德罗。
It's nothing we've seen before in all the 35 years I've been in business.And it's a huge demand. We're getting many, many calls and emails per day.
各行各业迫切需要防护隔板来重新开业。但据业主麦克·阿德尔森说，要购买这些制造隔板所需的丙烯酸板越来越困难了。
We had no idea that the sneeze guards / partitions would become such a big part of our business. And what's been happening is it's been harder and harder to get material. That's been the huge challenge.
随着越来越多的国家试图在公共场所设置屏障，世界各地都感受到原料短缺的问题。美国之音新闻报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。